Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
The book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, the word of the Lord says this: a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver or gold. So a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. How many of y'all want a good name? Look at your neighbor and say, you need a good name. A good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled, Say His Name, Say His Name. I want to talk about the name tonight. Can we just have a moment of prayer real quick? Father, we thank you for the word tonight. I pray that you use me in a powerful way to birth faith in the hearts of your people. God, that you would do something in this room tonight. God, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost that you supercharge an atmosphere. And tonight I pray, God, that your will would be done, your kingdom would come, that your blessing would be released in the church. God, and that we would see your manifestation of faith tonight. God, I pray you birth faith in this room tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Can you do something in the room? Run and find at least two people. Look at them in the eye and say, you better learn to say that name. Oh, yeah, yeah. Say his name, say his name. You know, there's power that's found. Y'all be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much. There is power found in a name. Names really define somebody. If I said Lexi, she looked at me because that's her name, right? If I said Seth, Seth looks at me because that's his name. There's power in names. So my name, I looked at my name in the dictionary, and I'm so thankful that my mom, who's in the room tonight, named me what she named me, because I believe that the attributes of my name really define who I am. The name Brian means strong and noble, and I desire with all my heart to be a strong man and a noble man. My wife, Pastor Jillian, her name means God's elegant child. I thought, well, that really defines my wife. She's super hot, super elegant, and God's child. And I looked up the word Olivia, and I about fell on the floor. Olivia means the anointing that flows through the olive oil. So that means my little girl's prophetic, because that means she's going to bring healing to the nations, right? And so names really define people. When you say a name or you hear a name, if I say McDonald's, you know what you liken that name to. If I say Lobitos up here, you know what you liken that name to. If I say Hi Boy, all you can think of is glory, you know. If I say Walmart, you liken Walmart to something in your life. Everybody in this room has got something from Wally World. If I say Ruger, we all praise the Lord. If I say Dodge, we know what Dodge is. If I say Ford, we know what Ford is, because we all know something by the name in which it has out there, right? Even in our homes, names mean something. If I tell Olivia, if I just say, hey, Olivia, she'd be like, what, Daddy? But if I say Olivia Lene Gallardo, she knows there's a different tone in that and that she's in trouble. But you know what's funny? I never call my wife by her first name. I never say, hey, Jillian, because if I say, hey, Jillian, she'd be like, what did you say? That's my name to everybody else but you. To you, I'm Boo. To you, I'm Baby. To you, I'm Sugar Lips. To you, I'm... To you, right? Because there's power in the name that we share. I know all these things about my wife. I call her Lover. I call her Sugar Face. I call her Sugar Lips. I call her Bunches of Wild Oats and Honey. Don't even ask. It just is what it is. I have all these different names for my wife, who she is to me, because that's the attributes tied to her name. So I don't just call her Jillian. I call her Hey Baby, Hey Lover, Hey Doll Face, Hey Gorgeous, but I say Hey Gorgeous. These are names that I call her that her and I have because I have this relationship with her. The closer you get to the presence of God, the closer that you get in your relationship with God, you begin to understand who God is and what he means to you. Gee, come on, y'all might as well sing it. Come on. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus, there's no other, no other name I know. Amen. Y'all be seated. So there's something in a name. Y'all know this to be true, right? Like when somebody calls your name, it does what? It gets your attention. And so the closer you get in your relationship with God, you have more understanding of who He is. You can't know Him as healer until you've been sick, right? You can't know Him as deliverer until you've been bound with something. You can't know Him as peace until you've been through a storm. And these names, and what name? He is peace, that's His name. He is healer, that's His name. You got to say His name. He is deliverer, that's His name. I wish some of my leaders would stop looking at me and get involved in the message. I don't know. He is bondage breaker, right? He is savior, right? But when you lost and you get found, you realize Him as Savior. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to learn to say His name. So in the Hebrew culture, you're given a name in the Bible. Like so Jacob's name meant deceiver. So when you look at Jacob's life, throughout his life, he was deceiving people. He started deceiving his brother, then he deceived his father, and that's why God changed his name. He said, you got to flip that name because you're no longer deceiver. You are now Israel, our prince of God. Abraham's name means father to many, so God gave him a promise and a covenant that he would be the father of many nations, and he would have more children than the sand grains on the shore or than the stars that are in the sky. Why? Because it's an important thing that you carry a name. And I'm here to tell you today that we serve a God who's got a name. He is the name. He is the I am that I am. I'm thankful for that name that we can call on when all hell breaks loose. I'm thankful for the name we can call on when we don't feel any peace. I'm thankful for the name we can call on when we feel isolated and on an island. But you got to learn to say His name. Say His name. Oh! So tonight, I was going to give you five of them, but I'm only going to give you three because we ain't going to get through five of them tonight. Tonight, I'm going to attempt to do my best to teach you some of the Hebrew names of God so you know a name to call on when you're going through hell and high water. Amen? And so in the Old Testament, that we know, those who've been coming to LifeGate Church long enough to know, because I'm a doctrine guy, I think it's important that you know doctrine. The Old Testament was originally written, everybody say, in Hebrew. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. So when the writers translated it from Hebrew to English and Greek to English, it lost a lot of the push in the name, or a push in the translation and a push in the name. So the English language isn't as deep as the Hebrew language, and the English language is not as deep as the Greek language. So these Hebrew names of God carry more weight in the original Hebrew than they do in the original English. And when you understand the name, that it's not just God, but whatever God you're reading in Scripture, there's a Hebrew name for that name in your Bible. That's God. Let's look at the first one. The first one is Elohim. Let's all say that together. Elohim. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God. But that's not just God. That Hebrew word right there is the word Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So I looked up this word Elohim, and I was studying this, and it means Almighty One or Extraordinary Powerful One. In other words, all might, power, and authority is in the hands of God. Now, what does that mean to me, preacher? He is more powerful than any other entity that is walking this earth right now, that has walked this earth yesterday, and that will walk the earth to come. Meaning, God is more powerful than cancer. Meaning, God is more powerful than addiction. Meaning, God is more powerful than bondage. Meaning, God is more powerful than a storm. Meaning, God is all powerful. He is Almighty. Whatever you're struggling with tonight, God is more powerful than that. Whatever devil's been lying in your ear, God is more powerful than that. Whatever drama you've been going through, God is more powerful than. Look at your name, neighbor, and say, you gotta say that name. He's Almighty. He's Almighty. He's a good God Almighty. He's Almighty. He's all powerful. powerful. He is more powerful than any hell that you've been going through. He is more mighty than what the doctors pronounced over your life. He is more powerful than the mental trauma and drama that you've been going through. Our God is Elohim. In the beginning was the Almighty One. In the beginning was the All-Powerful One. He is all-powerful. Josh, he's more powerful than that hip problem. He is more powerful than your sickness. He is Elohim. Oh! How many in this room tonight, you say, Pastor, I got a problem. I got problems. I got something going on in my life. Come on, be honest. I've got something going on in my life. Can I encourage you tonight that if that's you, you need to stretch your faith just a little bit and call on His name. Come on, somebody. Elohim, God, come now to this situation. Elohim, visit this problem. Visit this issue. You are the all-powerful. Oh! Come on, say His name. Say His name. Elohim, Almighty One. Now look at this one, number two. He is El Elyon. It's another name for God, El Elyon. Genesis 14:18 says this: Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. This Hebrew word God here is the word El Elyon, which means the God who is Most High. Now, here's where this difference between Almighty. Almighty means all-powerful. Most High means above it. Woo! There's no other entity higher, bigger, grander. Huh? Now, I got a problem with Christians who are always, listen, how you doing today? Oh, well, life's been better. I have a hard time with Christians who played the victim card for 20 years. Huh? I have a hard time with Christians who are always being beat up by the devil. At some point, you need to get a revelation of God that God is bigger, higher. I ain't talking about higher. I'm talking about higher. Higher. He's the biggest. He's the baddest. He's the greatest since sliced bread. He is God, El Elyon. He don't just have power for healing. He's got power over sickness. Woo! He don't have just power for peace in your home. That's Almighty One. He got power because He's El Elyon over the drama. He don't have just power, guys, to give you joy. He gives you power to come up over your depression because He is El Elyon. He is the God who is Most High. Cancer can't touch Him. Depression can't touch Him. Demons can't touch Him. Satan can't touch Him. Come on, somebody. Addiction can't touch Him. He is El Elyon. Well, the devil just been fighting me all night long. Well, the devil been fighting me all night long. I open my door and let him sit on in. The devil been fighting me all night long. That's where a lot of Christians live. But when I read the Bible, it says a different lyric. It says, I can because God said I can. I can because God said I can. Listen. Well, I cleaned up my house and I kicked the devil out. I can't because God said I can't. You know why you can? Because God said you can. You want to know why you can be free? Because El Elyon said you can be free. You want to know why you can be healed? Because El Elyon is God Most High. He's God Most High. He is big, Satan is little. If He is God Most High, the devil is little g, God Most Low. Gotta say His name. You don't need to call 816-503-9586 to get a breakthrough. All you got to do is call on LL Yon. You don't need your pastor laying hands on you 24/7. All you need to do is call on LL Yon. He is Jehovah God. He is the God who is most high. I wish some of y'all would wipe that depressed look off your face and give God glory for being a... Say his name tonight. Say his name. Oh, but this third name, Elder, whoo, Jehovah, number three, Jehovah, not just Elohim, we've already talked about Elohim, but Jehovah Elohim. This word right here is going to throw somebody in a convulsive fit tonight. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 4 says this. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. Look what Jehovah Elohim means. I am the God that keeps my covenant. I'm about to run around this Presbyterian church. Okay. I need two volunteers really fast. Come on, girls. Come on. Wrong girls, but come on, ladies. Jump up here real fast. So here's what in the Bible what covenant means, all right? Can you move this for me, somebody? Thank you. Let me get a drink of that water first. That looks good. Just kidding. Okay. So come here, Scar. You stand right here. You stand right there. Okay, so this is the Cologne family, and this is the Diaz family. Puerto Rican, Mexican. You know there's already drama right there. Right? And in the Bible, they didn't have what's called contracts. Because in America, in modern day world, contract and covenant are not the same thing. Right? Modern day Christians don't get in covenant with people like they used to get in contracts. Okay, so a contract is, will you like me on Facebook? Yes, I like you. Oh, I don't like you no more. I don't like you. I'm out of this relationship. Right? But in a covenant, two parties would come together, and the only way they could break relationship is if somebody died. Oh, help me, Jesus. So one day when these beautiful ladies have kids, when they're married for 10 years and they're 30, they're going to have a son and a daughter maybe. Well, maybe her son falls in love with her daughter, and they want to get married. In order for them, in Bible, I'm teaching about covenant, just really quick. In order for their kids to come together and become married, they had to cut covenant with each other. It was called a blood covenant. What they would do is they would go get an animal, and they would cut it in two. One half of the animal here, one half of the animal here. And they would walk in a figure eight around that animal. And here's what they were saying. If we break our word, let us be ripped in pieces and bloodied like this animal right here. God himself is Jehovah Elohim, who left the pavilions of glory, loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son as a sacrifice, a propitiation for the sins of humanity, hung him upon a cross, came down into this earth by the Holy Ghost, and cut covenant with humanity, saying, as he walked around Golgotha that day, he was saying, if I break my word, let me as God be ripped to pieces like the body of this flesh on the cross. If I stop my word, let me become as dead. Let me tell you, God is Jehovah Elohim. He cannot, he will not, he will never break his covenant to you. Everyone shout covenant. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. Shout covenant. If you're thankful for the blood of Jesus, stand on your feet and lift your hands up. Come on, if you're thankful that God kept his word to you, come on, love on him. Just say that name, Jesus. Come on, love on him for just a minute, Jesus. God is literally saying to you tonight, my word, my name alone, you can be seated. My name alone is Jehovah Elohim. In other words, if I break my promises to you, let me be like the dead body of Jesus on a cross. But I'm thankful today that he doesn't break his word for us, aren't you? Here's some biblical covenants I want to look at tonight, because I said all that to say something here in a moment. God gives David a covenant. It's called the Davidic covenant. We're going to look at just a few of these covenants tonight. And the Davidic covenant was a promise that God makes with David. And he says, David, your kingdom will last always. What he was telling David is, the bloodline of Jesus comes through your dynasty all the way back from Abraham, David. Come on, somebody. Put a prostitute in there, Rahab. All the way down to Mary and Joseph in the lineage of David. He says a future kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, will come through you. That kingdom, that Davidic covenant had been established. It never went away. God swore by himself. Then there's the Mosaic covenant, the covenant that God made between himself and Moses. This is one of the only conditional covenants that we find in Scripture. It's Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you obey my instructions, then you will be blessed, and you'll be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. You will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Now, don't quote that scripture if you're living in sin, because the Bible said only if you obey my statutes, then this covenant is for you. But if you don't obey my word, your Bible said, you will be beneath, you will be cursed, you will not be blessed coming in and going out. You will be cursed going in and going out. So if you got to quote the whole covenant, you got to quote the whole covenant. Well, you can't be in premarital sex and quote the covenant of the Lord. Come on, somebody. You can't be getting tipsy with alcohol and quote the covenant of the Lord. You will not be blessed if that's you. You're in bondage. You need to get delivered. Thank you for the three amens. I'm talking to the majority. That's good. Okay. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. The majority of them were written for the relationship between God and man. The latter part of them were written for the relationship between man and man. Like, don't commit adultery. That's a relational commandment. And then he gives him the entire law. And in the entire law, this blew me away when I was studying this, there are over 300 blessings attached to the law, but there are over 300 cursings for disobedience attached to the law. From Joshua to Esther, we see a motif of blessing if you do, cursing if you don't. The Mosaic covenant is conditional. The third covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant that God gave Abraham, and you and I can partake of this covenant because the Bible says we are seeds of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Come on. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you. The Lord, right arm, five. Okay, so we all partake of the covenant of Abraham. What was that covenant? I will make her name great. Woo! Who wants a great name? He said, your descendants will be more than the stars that are accumulated up in the sky. He said, you're going to be a father to the multitude. This is something I believe God has called me to do, be a spiritual father to multitudes of people. Don't you want to make disciples while you're here for Jesus? That's part of the Abrahamic covenant. All would be blessed through Abraham. If people are getting blessed around you, you need to recheck your Christianity. All three of you, amen. And he said the Messiah would come from your bloodline, and we are all part of this covenant. Look at the Adamic covenant. Now, the Adamic covenant is not a good covenant because of what happened after the fall of man and woman. The Bible said that because Adam and Eve sinned, they will work by the sweat of their brow. I was telling somebody today, I hate this part of the covenant. God told Adam, the ground will produce now thorns and thistles. Here's a good one for you ladies. And women will be given to the pain in birth. And here's another one for the ladies that the ladies don't like. Me and Berto were talking about this. And your husband will rule over you. All the guys are like, yeah, man. No. Because if your attitude is, woman, submit to me, you ain't even right in your head anyway. Amen. Because if you really read the Bible, you should be laying on your tummy while your wife stands on your back and you're the foundation for the home. If you're not being a spiritual leader to your home, your wife shouldn't submit to you with spiritual things. Amen? Well, I'll leave that alone. Praise the Lord. Okay. So these covenants haven't changed. You know, the Noahic covenant, the covenant of Noah, we know the story. There was sin in the land. There was men having sex with men, women having sex with men, women that were killing their babies, fathers sleeping with kids, mothers sleeping with kids. It was a demented, demonic mess. People were getting crashed out drunk. It was a big Sodom and Gomorrah type of party. And the Bible said that God looked down upon the earth and he said, I cannot strive with man anymore. He cursed the earth. It brought forth rain and water came up from the ground, but he saved Noah and his family. Noah and his family were resting on the Mount of Ararat and the ark. They came out the boat, and the Bible said that God told Noah, I'll never destroy the earth with water like that again because of the wickedness of man. And he gave Noah a covenant. He put a rainbow in the sky as a mark to say, I will never do that again. That covenant is still existing today. That's why every time it rains, you ought to go out and look for the covenant of Noah. You ought to go out and look for the covenant God made with him, that as long as the earth remains seed time and harvest, he gave us that covenant. That's a Noahic covenant, and it's still in existence today. But then there's that sixth covenant that I want to talk to you about tonight. It's called the New Blood Covenant. It's the promise that God gave all of humanity that if you sin, you have mercy and grace through the bloodshed banner of the crimson red stained Canaan king called Jesus. It's the new covenant that says if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, confess it with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the new covenant. The new covenant says all who are willing, come messed up, come on, come high, come on, come drunk, come on, come broken in your spirit. The new covenant now gives everybody access to God. Aren't you glad for the new covenant of Jesus? Now, all these covenants, I love this part right here, all these covenants prove God's integrity. The word holy in the Old Testament means integrity, because God's proven it, that everything God said he would do, he does that. And every promise he's pinned in scripture either has come to pass or will come to pass. Why? Because his name. Put that point number three back up there for me if you can, ladies. Point number three. He is Jehovah Elohim, the God covenant-keeping creator. He never stops keeping his covenants for humanity. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what those covenants are for me. I'm so glad that you asked, because tonight I want to look at some covenants for you. Here's one, Isaiah 55 verse 11. So is the word that comes out of my mouth. It will not return unto me empty, but it will go into your life right here at LifeGate Church and accomplish whatever I desire, whatever I achieve, the purpose for which I sent. That means that the word says by his stripes you are healed. That scripture, because God is not a liar, will come to pass because he's an integrous God. I feel like preaching tonight. Numbers 23 verse 19. Look at this. God is not a human. Those are four powerful words in your scripture. God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Some of us change our mind every single day. You know, we change our mind about where we're going to eat. We change our mind about who we like. We change our mind about what we like. We can't get the temperature just right because we are always shifting and changing. That is not God. He is a covenant keeper. He is God and he changes not. I know it seems like the devil is winning, but the devil is a liar. He's going to lose because God is a covenant keeper. I know it feels like you're not going to be healed, but his word will not return void because he's a covenant keeper. I know it feels like it's never going to work, but I'm here to tell you, faith works and God is a covenant. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Look at this. No matter how many promises, there's a lot of promises in Scripture. Can I get a witness? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Healing, yes. Deliverance, yes. Household salvation, yes. Peace in the midst of the storm, come on, yes. Help and hope in the midst of a hopeless situation, yes. Strength when you're weak, yes. When you're confused and need direction, God's word for you for direction is yes. Healing in your heart from past pain, yes. Deliverance in your mind from the things you went through in your past, yes. His answers for you are yes, because he is a covenant-keeping kind of God. Exodus 14:14 is a covenant that God has for you. Tonight, the Lord will fight for you. Will fight. Some of you feel tonight that God's going to sleep on you, but I'm here to tell you, God's got boxing gloves on and he will fight for you. Some of you feel like God has taken a hiatus and he's in Branson on vacation, but I'm here to tell you right now, God will fight for you. I know you feel like you prayed, but nothing happens. I'm here to tell you that God will fight for you. Pastor, why do we struggle? Because God's about to fight for you. Pastor, why does it feel like ain't nothing happening? God's about to fight for you. God has never lost a battle, and he ain't starting today. He is a God who wins. He is a God who fights, and he is personally right now. He is right now. The Bible tells us Jesus is interceding. He is fighting for you right. He's fighting for your marriage. He is fighting for your job promotion. He is fighting for the peace of mind that you so desperately need, because God will fight for you. Look at this one. This is a good one. Isaiah 40, verse 29. God gives strength to those who are weary. God increases the power of those who are weak. You ever felt weak before? You ever felt so exhausted from life and mental trauma and drama, and you feel like you can't go on another minute, you can't pray another time, you can't push any harder, you can't check that bank account anymore? If that gaslight comes on one more time, I'm about to lose my natural mind. Pastor, I don't know what to do. It seems like life isn't working. I'm at a point where I feel like I can't pray, I can't seek God, I can't worship. All hell has come against me. I just came in here to encourage somebody tonight. God is a covenant keeper. And if you are weak, it's perfect time for the covenant keeper to give you some strength. If you need strength tonight, I double dog dare you to stand up on your feet. Slip your hands up and praise Jehovah Elohim. Come on, he's a covenant keeper. Oh! Look at this, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those whose hope is in the Lord. How many of y'all have hope in the Lord tonight? All 17 of us. How many have hope in the Lord tonight? Come on. Then the Bible says God's going to renew your strength. They will soar on wings like an eagle. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to give you some Red Bull wings and you're literally about to fly. That doesn't mean to go book you a United Airline ticket. That's not what that means. That means you're about to rise from the ashes and soar. Because some of you tonight, you feel like you're down in the dumps. You feel like, God, I can't take no more. Pastor, you don't know my story. You don't know where I'm at in life right now. All hell's breaking loose. Nothing is working right. It's all right. God's going to give you strength. But you got to wait on him. You got to trust him. You got to believe him. You got to call upon the covenant keeper. You got to say, God, Jehovah Elohim, your word told me that I can receive strength. Your word told me I can have hope. Your word told me you strengthen those who are weak. And I ain't going to lie, right now, I feel weak, but I just came up in this church tonight to say your name, to tell you, God, you got to pick me up. I worship you anyhow. You are Jehovah Elohim, the covenant keeping kind of God. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 43, 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Anybody going through some waters, you feel like you're drowning tonight? Well, you say, Pastor, I don't feel that way tonight. Anybody ever felt like you was drowning in life? Come on. Not knowing what to do. You say, Pastor, I never felt that before. Well, hold on, because eventually you're probably going to get there. Because Jesus even told us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But look what the good news is. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Some of you in this room tonight, you feel like you're in the fire. You feel like you're in the river and you're about to drown. I just came up in here to tell somebody that fire will not set you ablaze. You will not drown, because God is going to strengthen the feeble. Look at your neighbor and say that name. Say, Isaiah 54, 17. Miss Susan jacked me up one day because she said, Pastor, I don't understand why Christians always talk about how the devil's always beating them up, always coming against them. She said, doesn't the Bible still say that no weapon formed against you will prosper? She said, we ought to be the kind of Christians that are shoving the covenant in the face of the devil. And I say amen to that. No weapon formed against God's babies will prevail. Come on, somebody. Not the gaslight, it won't prevail. I don't care what your job told you, not prevail. I don't care what them crazy family members of yours had to say, no weapon formed against you will prevail. Oh, James 4:7. Look, these are just covenant promises. James 4:7. Somebody said, what you preaching tonight? The Bible. James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. A, B, resist the devil. C, he will flee from you. Huh? Some of you wonder why the enemy keeps fighting you, because you won't submit to God. You won't submit what you're looking at on the internet to God. You keep having premarital sex and wonder why the devil keeps harping on you. You got to submit your life to God. You got to stop being rebellious. Get the transgression out of your heart, and then the devil will flee from you. All right, that's all good. We have to submit ourselves to God first, right? Come on, somebody. You ain't submitted to God if you have no conviction. Hello, somebody. If you aren't convicted about watching pornography, you are not submitted to God. If you are not convicted about having sex before you're married, you are not submitted to God. If you don't, or you are not convicted about a filthy mouth, you are not submitted to God. Submit to God, then resist the devil. Then he will flee. We got a bunch of Christians in this generation trying to resist the devil, and they never submitted to God. And they wonder why the devil won't leave them alone. It's because you won't surrender your life to God. Well, yeah. 1 John 1:9, thank God that this backs up what we've been preaching tonight. If we confess our sin, covenant blessing. He is faithful and just. He will never go back on his word. He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us. Purify us. See, God is what makes you holy. Coming to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night is not going to make your heart holy, will not clean you from your sin. You can come carrying a 20-pound Bible. We can cart it in on a dolly. That will not purify you. The only way to get free and submit your heart to God is by repenting, recanting, refusing the sin in your life, and letting Him purify your heart. Come on, somebody. I always know when I'm preaching to the right church on these kind of issues because they get real uptight and they get real quiet. Look at your neighbor and say, you better come out of sin. Psalm 34 and verse 17, and I'm closing right here on this verse. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. That's a promise. You say, Pastor, what's the righteous? Those who live holy? Nope, that's not what that means. Righteousness is a place in God. Because only He can make us righteous. Paul said, my righteousness is as filthy, dirty rags. If Paul's saying that, I think all of us in this room can concur. We got some things we need to call out to God for. He said, the righteous cries out unto the Lord, and God hears them. Here's a covenant promise. He delivers them from all of their troubles. Why? Guys, He doesn't go back on His word because He is Jehovah Elohim, the covenant-keeping God. Say His name. Say His name. He's good, isn't He? So, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm confused tonight. You need to find out what the covenant is for you. See, the difference between covenant and what we think covenant means is like if I sign those 100 pieces of paper to put my name down that I am contracting myself to buy a house, I can always debunk that contract and just have it foreclosed and leave. Right? If I want to get out of a marriage, I can just debunk that marriage and just leave. Not my marriage, because my wife would hunt me down and kill me, but right? If we lease a car and want to get out of it, we can break the lease. But God doesn't break His leases. He can't. If He does, He's not a liar. And He said, let me be as this death right here. Some of you here tonight, your faith is weighing. You don't know if God is hearing you or sensing you, but the word of the Lord tells us God, Jehovah Elohim, is hearing you and will deliver you from your problems because He's good that way. Can we stand up on our feet and give God about a 3-second hand clap, a praise in this room tonight?